Well, hello. You are listening to Stirring the Pot on Voice of Vashon 101.9 KVSH in lovely downtown Vashon Island, Washington. And we're here today to talk about some food and some rituals and the fact that we're rejoicing because spring is on its way. It's finally coming, the return of the light. And I am really blessed today to be in the company of some extraordinary women, all of whom are really good cooks, have interesting stories to tell us about springtime rituals based in their childhoods and their upbringings. And so I'd like to introduce you, first of all, Heidi Skrypek, who's always here as our engineer. Hi, Heidi.
Hi.
Hi, Heidi. Heidi is, we're going to be talking a little bit today, not about religion so much as tradition and ritual of the traditional ways we were raised. And Heidi was raised Episcopalian. So she has a regular background.
Like somewhat. So the smudge is off my forehead.
Yeah, yeah. And then, you know, each of us carries a living tradition of faith, wisdom, and a shared table. Celine Demir, who is my co-host, hi Celine.
Well, hello.
Is a Muslim woman whose tradition teaches that every meal began with gratitude and is an act of worship. And that feeding others is among the highest expressions of faith. And I know that about you. You feed everybody. Anybody in sight gets food shoved down their throat, whether they want it or not.
You can't leave my house without food.
That's right. You cannot. You cannot. And then we have Sharon Briskman. Hi, Sharon.
Hi.
Sharon is a Jewish woman whose people have gathered around sacred tables for thousands of years, turning food into memory, memory into identity, and identity into hope. I welcome you. I'm so glad you're here. I'm so glad you're here. And then there's me. And I was raised Lutheran, very sort of nonchalant Lutheran, I would say. Not really religious, but certainly partaking of all the Christian holidays. So I thought it would be really interesting, since we have so many traditional holidays of different faiths converging at this time of year. We have Ramadan, we have Passover coming, we have Easter coming, we have Palm Sunday, we have Nowruz. Is that how we say that?
Nowruz.
And so many other traditions, but we have one spring, and the spring and the food are what unite us. And so, with that, I'd like to just introduce the concept of where all this came from originally, because nobody invented it. It's all based in astronomical foundations, and sacred calendars orbit the same four events, like the solstice, spring, winter, summer, and autumn. And Easter is the first Sunday after the first full moon. Then there's the thing called the Metonic Cycle, which is Greek astronomy from like 500 years before Christ. And it's at the heart of Easter's calculations.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I don't pretend to know the math in that, except that it matters to them. And the spring full moon is the same lunar moment that anchors Passover, Easter, and ancient pagan rites. It's all about the spring full moon. The seven-day week comes from the seven classical planets. Babylonian in origin. Sunday is the sun, day of the sun, of course. Easter's insistence on Sunday is solar. Mm-hmm. That's why, you know, that's a whole different thing. But let me ask you guys, do any of your traditions feel rooted in the earth, Sharon?
I'm not sure from what standpoint you mean, but we incorporate vegetables in the Seder plate, and they take on a different meaning, you know, they symbolize something. So I think that would
probably
be as close.
Yeah.
And when you mentioned the solar, you know, based on the full moon, and we had talked about, that's why the Jewish holidays in particular are either early or late. So when I say, oh, Passover is early this year, mm-hmm. it's because we're on a lunar calendar.
Oh, interesting. Yeah. Interesting. Yeah. And what about you, Celine? Does your tradition feel rooted in earth or the sky?
As far as I know, there is no like a plate like you were telling earlier about, you know, in some of the cedar table, or we're going to talk about in the Nevruz has mm-hmm. a table too. Mm-hmm. I don't remember that mm-hmm. In the Islamic holidays, but the food that's cooked with is, it has all of these pieces. You know, there's the vegetables, there's mm-hmm. the meat, there's mm-hmm. the, you know, the bread.
And all of that is
everything
of the earth.
Yeah, I mean, everything. Yeah, earth. So yeah. For that, yeah. Yes, it does.
Yeah,
yeah,
yeah. I thought it was interesting that the, in Islam, the it begins with the sighting of the crescent moon. Did you mm-hmm. know that? Mm-hmm. I didn't know
yeah.
that. It's a direct human witness of the sky. And then and Ramadan begins.
Yeah.
Which is, I think, it gives me kind of shivers,
yeah,
I guess. That's what it does. And then
as simple as that, right?
Right. It's as simple as that. And yeah. And the thing about the symbol of that crescent moon is that it is when it's the tiniest and it's emerging from its darkness, like we all are in the springtime.
Right.
You know, it's really nice to know that the light is coming. Yeah. I'm really yeah. happy about that. And then, Heidi, what about you when you were a kid, or how you were raised with springtime traditions?
Boring. Easter dinner, Easter egg hunts.
Yeah.
I mean, Sunday dinners.
Mm-hmm.
It's pretty darn boring. Celine and Sharon are going to have much more interesting things to say on this topic.
Yeah.
So.
That's kind of how I feel about yeah. the Lutheran thing, you know, although yeah. I will say Easter's my favorite holiday.
Yeah.
And it's not about the religion. It's about the colors and the freshness and the spring
yeah.
and the daffodils and the crocus.
And it's family.
And it's family. Yeah. It's yes. table. It's food. It's gathering. It's that.
Mm-hmm. Which That's, is a yeah. common thread line here.
For all of
yeah,
us.
Absolutely.
Yeah. I know.
Absolutely.
I know.
Absolutely.
I know. Well, I am really interested because I know so little about other traditions. I'm interested in, Sharon, can we talk about what you are doing for Passover? Maybe we could talk about that. We could talk about what your, first of all, is that April 5th?
First.
Okay.
But it lasts, that's the first night.
Okay.
And so Jewish holidays start on the evening of the day of the holiday.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yes. Oh, so we say Erev, which means before.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Okay.
Yeah.
So I know that you were raised in Jewish tradition, mm-hmm. and I'm curious about what you remember about that as a child.
Oh, Pesach is, I have wonderful memories.
Do you?
Yeah. When I was a little girl, my mother and father and my sisters and I, we would go to my aunt's house,
mm-hmm.
and she would have all the cousins and, you know, and the aunts and uncles, and we would all sit around this big table and go through the Seder.
Uh-huh.
Now, the Seder means order.
Okay.
So there is an order to how you go through it. And there, in the course of it, there are four glasses of wine.
Right.
And my cousins and I had our very first taste of Mogan David wine. And so for the first hour, and oh my God, and it lasted forever. I mean, the Seders, the traditional Seders, mm-hmm. goes on forever. But by that time, my cousins and I had tasted, as shall we say, Mogan David wine, and we were quite happy with everything.
It all went very well for
yeah,
you.
Yeah. And then Barry and I got married, and we moved to Phoenix, and I have that same family memory being around my mother-in-law's table,
mm.
and all of the cousins were there, mm-hmm. first cousins, mm-hmm. second cousins, his brothers and sisters. And one of my best memories is standing elbow to elbow with Barry's mother and his grandmother cooking.
Oh. Oh.
And so I had an assignment. I made the matzo balls, which I think dumplings are in everybody's background.
They are.
So I made the matzo balls and I made the horosis, which is apple, cinnamon, and wine to symbolize the mortar. It's the whole story. It's the mortar between the bricks that the Jews in Egyptian times were made to build.
When they were slaves.
That's what that is. And then my other job was to set the table.
Oh, that's wonderful. So what memories of, I mean, which food did you love the best at your Seder dinners?
Okay. Well, the matzo balls.
Those are hard to make.
They're hard to make them fluffy.
Yes.
It's hard to make. My mother's were the best.
Were they?
I mean, yes, she would say they're so puffy.
Puffy.
I don't know whatever that meant.
Yeah.
It was like
that's
fluffy.
A great word.
Mine have sort of a semi-solid center, which I've not been able to overcome. But
and do you make big ones? Are they pretty big?
No, they're...
Like
they're
golf
just
ball?
Average size.
Yeah.
But,
yeah.
And this is off the subject, but in Phoenix, there was a delicatessen. And I went there and I had matzo ball soup. And I said, oh my God, these are really delicious. And then the woman said, told me the story that a woman came in, had matzo ball soup, and she said, oh my God, these are just like my mother's.
Oh.
And it turned out that the woman who was cooking in Phoenix had the recipe from this woman's mother.
No.
Oh my God.
Yeah. What a small world.
Yeah.
What a small world.
That is so sweet.
Yeah. Yeah. And so what about you, Celine? Tell me about your childhood and Ramadan.
So Ramadan, just like the Jewish tradition, it starts the evening of at the end of
sundown
of the whole month of fasting, right? So the whole celebration starts at the end of the whole month of Ramadan, and which we call it Arifeh, which it's very similar to what you just said, right?
Oh, Arif?
Did you say Arif?
I said Arif. Yeah,
Arif. So it's we call in Turkey we call it Arifeh. So the day before the celebration. So it was so interesting. I just captured that as you were saying. I didn't know that they were so similar. And then, so before that, a couple of days before, we would go to my aunt's house, and because she was the professional baklava maker. She would literally make the doughs and then open each tiny little dough bowls into huge baklava sheets. And that was her thing. I mean, she was the only one in the whole family could open them so perfectly, see through without breaking. And so we would be at her house, and then I think we would make three or four big trays. I'm not saying we, because we were just bringing stuff that they wanted, and we would do the cleaning and everything else, but kind of watching them. It was we were all part of the process. And then so they would make the baklava, and our job was to carry those big trays to the big bakery because we didn't have big ovens. So they have big ovens in the big bakery. So they would take it there, and then they would say, come back in an hour. We would go and pick it up in an hour. And then the aunts and grandma, they would make their simple syrup. And by the time it comes, they would pour it out. And it just, the smell of that
makes my mouth water.
Baklava and syrup. And it's just so great. So while that was, while the baklavas were being baked, we were also baking burek. So, opening up the burek dough and usually with spinach or with ground beef. So we would have variety, and then so we would have a couple more big trays of it. So it's like our job was to carry those trays from, from home to the big bakery, from bakery to home.
And not and fall down.
And not fall down. Down. Oh yeah. My gosh, no, yeah. No, yeah. No. So, and then, you know, the whole houses, like before these Eids are going to come through, the whole house would be cleaned, like inside out, everything, mm-hmm. including the, we would wipe the walls. I mean, I don't know why, but they made us wipe the walls, the windows and everything
it's
inside
out. The tradition.
It's part of the tradition. So mm-hmm. like you never, and they would call it cleaning for Bayram.
Mm-hmm.
It was right before, it was always cleaning for Bayram. You just,
did you have that, Sharon?
Yeah.
You did?
Yeah, you know, I haven't thought about that because that sort of fell by the wayside. But as a child, I do remember, oh my God, everything came out yeah. of the kitchen.
Yes.
Everything had to be clean. Mm-hmm. And there's a little tradition, as I say, this fell by the wayside for me, but you would take a little broom uh-huh. and sweep to make sure that there wasn't anything that was not kosher for Passover. In
oh.
other words, anything that had leavening mm-hmm. in it.
Oh,
and you would take that mm-hmm. and then it seems to me that you went to some place where there was water in Chicago, Lake Michigan, but mm-hmm. you know, any place. And those and that was burned.
Mm. Oh,
so the
so
house was
doesn't
pure.
Exist.
Oh,
same
that's
thing.
Interesting. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Same
yeah.
thing.
I mean, yes, we clean the houses inside out.
Yeah.
It was just so
yeah.
interesting. I mean, everything, the rugs, the mm-hmm. walls, everything gets wiped. And,
right.
Oh my gosh, that was a lot of work.
We were talking the other day, this is a little bit off topic, but a friend and I were talking the other day about a woman she knows who was busy on that Saturday doing spring cleaning, and it included washing her walls. And I thought, oh my God,
really?
I mean, I don't wash walls ever.
No.
I don't think I ever have, but my mother did. I remember
wow.
that before the holiday, we would wash the walls and the windows and the curtains and the mm-hmm. everything. So mm-hmm. there's another common ground between our different traditions and our different religions and ways of growing. One of the things I wanted to mention is the similarity mm-hmm. in all the foods that mm-hmm. we eat as,
yeah.
you know, traditional, practicing whatever it is that we practice. And I think, you know, whatever your background, whatever your faith, you still have the food
mm-hmm.
and
yeah.
you still have the table and the families.
Mm-hmm.
And it's really, you know, cliche, I guess, but it is the tie
yeah.
that binds us. It really is. I read something today that I want to read to you that really, hope I can get through it, but it applies to what we're talking about today. When the world is in conflict, perhaps the most radical act is to notice what we share. Every spring, across every culture and faith, human beings have looked at the same sky, mm-hmm. felt the same warmth returning, and sat down together to eat. The foods on our tables in April, the lamb, the egg, the bread, the sweets, are the same foods that have always meant the same thing, that life returns, that hope is not foolish, and that we are, under all our differences, one people under the same sky.
Mm-hmm. That's beautiful.
Isn't that beautiful?
Yeah.
I love that.
And it's really what I want to talk about today. With our similarities and some of the differences that are really
yeah.
kind of interesting in the way the interpretation happens over a given food or a given ritual. But just to touch on food as a universal sacred language, let's look at lamb. It's the Passover Seder plate.
Mm-hmm.
And that, Sharon, can you talk about the Passover Seder plate and on that?
Yeah, sure.
And is it in the middle of the table? Tell me how this works.
A big, beautiful plate with either indentations for each of the symbols or little dishes for each of the symbols. And the leader of the Seder,
mm-hmm.
One person leads it, and everybody around the table speaks until it's over. And so the person points to it, to each thing. And so we have a roasted egg,
mm-hmm.
which, you know, is spring, but it also was an offering brought to the temple okay? And then the Paschal Lamb, and that's now a roasted shank bone.
Mm-hmm.
And again, that symbolizes an offering that was brought to the temple. Now, the temple I'm referring to, of course, is, you know, in biblical times.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
And I mentioned to you before the show that now that there are so many people that are vegan and vegetarian, you're allowed to use, or the tradition has changed, you can mm-hmm. put an orange instead of the mm-hmm. bone.
Mm-hmm.
And let's see. And then there are bitter herbs to remind us of the times that were hard. And we have the egg, the lamb, the bitter herbs, horosis.
And what is that?
That's the chopped apples. That was my job.
Oh.
And so that was chopped apples, cinnamon, and wine, mm-hmm. Moog and David wine, of mm-hmm. course, you mm-hmm. know.
No, of course.
And I think that's it. Yeah, and a green vegetable.
Okay.
To symbolize
any
spring.
Kind of green vegetable. Well, mm-hmm. it'd be a spring one, I guess.
yeah, usually it's something like parsley.
Mm-hmm.
Or,
mm-hmm. Yeah. Was there anything similar in wait a minute. We'll get back to that.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm getting some wild signals over here from my engineer. It's time to say thank you to our sponsors, and we will be right back.
Voice of Vashon thanks Windermere Real Estate for its support, making our community information programming and our emergency alert service possible. Find them on the web at WindermereVashon.com.
BOV programming is brought to you by Cafe Little Cup, featuring house-made bagels and Fioretta coffee, expertly roasted and prepared. Or enjoy wine by the glass and a baked treat in their Vashon Town Cafe. Don't forget grab-and-go specialty wines and pantry items on your way out. For hours of operation and to find out more, call 206-999-4742.
And we're back.
Hello, hello. You are listening to the Voice of Vashon. Am I on?
It looks like you're on.
It doesn't sound like I'm on.
There you are.
Where's Linda?
Wendy's Linda here. We need our Linda.
Yeah, here I am. Hello, everybody. You're listening to Stirring the Pot on Voice of Vashon. And we're back. We're talking about Ramadan and Nowruz and Easter and...
We just had Seder.
We just yeah, had Seder, except Sharon says she forgot something.
I forgot something so important.
Is it honey?
On the Seder plate are... matzahs, mm-hmm. three matzahs.
Oh,
and that
yum.
Symbolizes and causes us to remember that the Israelites had to leave when Moses brought them out of the desert. They had to leave so fast that their bread didn't rise.
Mm-hmm.
And so for a week, we eat unleavened bread.
And so when you talk, so matzah is unleavened.
Yes.
The matzah ball is. And then there's also the crackery thing.
That's
right?
Matzah.
And that's matzah.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And so you eat that all week long.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Very hard sending lunch to school with your child with matzah.
Oh, you know? I bet. Peanut butter and matzah.
Yeah. Oh, it's good, by the way.
I bet it is. Well, my kids had peanut butter and tortillas, you know.
Yeah.
So, I mean, kind of the same thing. Yeah. And Celine, you found some interesting notes about Nowruz and the table.
Yeah. So we don't have, as far as I know, there is no plates in Ramadan like mm-hmm. that, like that represents something. But when I was looking at about the Nowruz, which is a the Iranian New Year, and so apparently it's the exact moment of spring equinox when day and night are equal and spring officially arrives.
Okay.
One thing that I didn't know, and I'm going to get to the table, is that Nowruz is over 3,000 years old.
Wow.
And it's been recognized by UNESCO and United Nations as an international holiday. And it's about renewal, renewing mm-hmm. the nature, renewing relationships, and giving ourselves to fresh start.
Mm-hmm.
So it has really beautiful meanings. And they do have the shaking the house cleanup.
Oh, they do?
The Ramadan. Yeah, that happens right before Ramadan too, mm-hmm. which is interesting. And then because they want to leave everything in the old year. So they have a brand new year.
Okay.
And then apparently at the center of Nowruz celebration, it's the Haftseen table. So Haft means seven. Seen refers to the Persian letter S.
Okay.
So seven items, all starting with S, each symbolizing something people hope for the year. So here's the list. First one is Sabzeh, which symbolizes rebirth and growth. So they have wheat or barley or lentil sprouts on the table for that. Samanu is a sweet wheat germ pudding, which symbolizes affluence and fertility. Senjed. I'm hoping I'm pronouncing
you
these
are.
Right. So I apologize to any of my Persian friends. Senjed is the dried oleaster fruit, which symbolizes love. I've never heard of oleaster fruit.
I don't know what that is either.
I don't either.
We'll look it up later.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then the other one is seer, which is garlic. And symbolizes health and medicine.
Oh.
Which is so perfect for garlic, isn't it?
Yeah, it is.
And seeb, which is apple, and symbolizes beauty and health.
Oh.
Somag, which is sumac.
Mm-hmm. Our sumac, yeah.
Yum.
Did I pronounce that right? Because I'm always told that I mispronounce sumac.
No way. Okay. It's perfect.
All right.
Yeah. Red and sumac. I love it in beans.
Right? It's wonderful.
Oh, I put on everything too.
Yeah.
It symbolizes sunrise and new beginnings. And the last one is serke, which is vinegar, symbolizes age and patience.
Hmm. Really?
Yeah. So, and then they say, you'll also see around this table, you'll see candles, a mirror, painted egg, and sometimes poetry.
Well, how romantic.
I know. Families gather around the table at the exact moment when the new year begins,
mm-hmm.
quietly together, and they welcome spring.
Oh, that's beautiful.
It's such a
beautiful. I love that. And those are the things we all hope for.
I know, right?
All of us would like that list of things to come true.
Yeah. So apparently, right before the Nowruz celebration mm-hmm. starts, there's a fire festival.
Hmm.
And fire symbolizes purification.
Okay.
Burning away bad luck and hardship from the old year and stepping into the new one lighter than before.
So, Celine, will you tell us about that, please? Because I remember you were talking one time about, as a child, you remember something about people jumping over fire.
Which is interesting because, you know, we have jumping over the fire on May 5th, which is a different tradition in Turkey. But then right before the springtime, we would see some of our Kurdish neighbors.
Mm-hmm.
I grew up and I lived in a neighborhood that was mainly by immigrants from Yugoslavia. So we only had a very small number of Kurdish neighbors.
Mm-hmm.
So, but then, you know, right before the spring celebrations would start, they would have these big fires and then they would jump over the fire. We're like,
oh my goodness,
what is going on?
What are they doing?
And they were just like, it was such a happy time for
joyous.
Them. It was joyous.
Oh.
They were jumping over the fire. I think you're supposed to jump at least three times.
Oh.
And then you're supposed to say, you know, clean up the bad energy or mm-hmm. the bad luck mm-hmm. and then the illnesses and all of those so that they, you know, you start the new year clean. You know, as a child, I didn't know that.
Sure.
And now when I was reading about Nowruz when I was getting ready for the show, and I'm like, oh my God,
now I know.
So it's interesting. It's interesting because I mean, it wasn't the same fire festival we were celebrating in May, because mm-hmm. this was happening a couple of months earlier. So I knew it wasn't the same, but I didn't know what it was back then.
It's so, a small fire that they built?
No, actually, sometimes they would make it really big, and then it kind of becomes like a fun thing, like how big of a fire you can make and jump over.
Oh, golly.
Sometimes there were accidents.
Yeah. Ooh. I would be that person. Yeah. I love the idea of this fire ritual and jumping over and, you know, leaving the old behind, but I don't think I could jump over these days. I don't think I could. You know, one of the other things that we all have in common, well, Sharon, as you were just talking about, was the unleavened bread. Mm-hmm. And then we also have other kinds of bread, and bread is universal. Mm-hmm. I mean, bread is like the one thing that every culture has of some kind. Yes. Every culture has bread. And
I just would like to interrupt to say, when you talked about food and ritual coming from the earth, mm-hmm. the prayer that is said when you sit down to eat and you say a prayer over the bread,
okay.
and part of it is to thank God for bringing bread from the earth. So earth is very much intrinsic in the holiday.
Yeah. In the holidays. Yes. Well, the wheat.
Absolutely.
Absolutely.
Well, you know, breaking bread together, maybe, I need to do some research, but it may be one of the oldest peace rituals mm-hmm. that we have in humanity. Because when you look back and you even think, you know, if you stop at someone's house for coffee or you go out for breakfast or you have a funeral, you know, there's mm-hmm. always bread and there's always a peaceful feeling around eating mm-hmm. a piece of bread. There just mm-hmm. is. And that's part of what I find so fascinating about the differences in our culture and the way that we view each other, mm-hmm. because we're all the same.
Yeah.
And we have some different flavors. We have some different rituals, but really we're all the same.
Yeah.
And I think for me, we're talking about the tables. I love this Nowruz table thing. I want to do more research on that.
Yeah.
It's really interesting. We as a Christian family always had a giant table, and there were no sort of rituals around eating, mm-hmm. except that the whole season was a ritual, and the table was always huge. My mom had a giant kitchen. We had aunts and uncles and grandmas and grandpas and cousins and, you know, 40 people for meals, and her dining room table would seat 20 people easily, mm-hmm. and then there were kids' tables, and then there were, you know, auntie's tables over there, and it was a big deal. But what I remember is talking about the food and childhood. What I remember the most, I really didn't like the Easter egg thing. I didn't like hunting for them. I didn't like dyeing them. I didn't like anything about a hard-boiled egg. What I really loved, though, were the hot cross buns.
Oh,
and my mom made hot cross buns every Easter, and she made giant trays of them. And my mom had a reputation in our town and country as being the best bread baker around.
Oh,
and
wow.
She really was. She so her bread was unbelievable, and people would just die to have it, you know? Well, maybe not really. Anyway, these hot cross buns, if you picture a sheet pan, she had, I don't know, maybe 10 of them. And it was shuffling and raising, and you know, she could freeze some of them. And then they always had a little bit of spice in them. They weren't like just regular white bread dough. They mm-hmm. were a special dough, and then decorated on the top with frosting in a cross, thus the hot cross buns. So I was thinking that this is about Christ and the crucifixion. And then I learned that really it's not. It came from pagan years, way, way back before Christianity even started. And the pagans had their way of baking these, I don't know if they were buns or loaves of bread, but they made crosses on them. And the crosses were about the four directions, north, south, east, and west, sunrise, sunset. And in the middle, where the lines intersect, symbolized peace. And when those four things all come together in one way, it's peace.
Wow.
So the Christians turned that into the crucifixion situation. Then I found out that when the pagans were, when they were so busy in the early years before the Christians came on board, then the Christians came on board and really incorporated a lot of the pagan ritual into the Christianity because they felt they were smart. They wanted control, but they felt that if they used some of the pagan rituals and ideals, the people would have an easier time adopting Christianity. And so the hot cross buns in Queen Elizabeth's reign in England, she outlawed them because they were so pagan. And she, and you know, the funny thing about it is I've read quite a bit about this. I obviously didn't experience it myself. I read a lot about it, but they just kept making them. It was like, you cannot make bread illegal. You just can't. And what she was worried about was that it was too much of a pagan tradition. So it really didn't become more Christianized until later. You know, she, I forget when she reigned. I can't remember the dates, but we know when Queen Elizabeth reigned. And it, I just thought it was really interesting that they kept that practice up.
Interesting.
And so hot crust buns were my favorite Easter food.
Your mother needed Celine and her family and her friends to, excuse me, to take big trays of them and run to the bakery and then bring them back.
Yeah.
It would have been so much faster.
It would have been so much faster and easier. Yeah.
That would have helped your mama.
Well, it would have helped her, but you know, it was something that we all took pleasure in, and we children helped frost, you know, we helped, but it was very important that you do not separate those buns. They stay all connected together. Together on the tray. And so,
why is that?
I don't know. She probably just didn't want us to eat them. You know, she wanted to be able to know how many were there. I don't know. But we could not disturb them. They were not to be eaten before Easter. So, and we spent the whole entire day before Easter making them.
Oh, wow.
And then she entertained, and she had, you know, we always had ham. We always had some, you know, we had a really beautiful fruit salad that I loved and my sister hated. And I still, I've made it. And she still hates it, and I still love it. And it had a cooked pineapple dressing, which she, which is more like a custard, and she didn't, she didn't like that part. But, and so Easter became a day of huge celebration for us, just coming out of blizzards in the winter in northern Montana, where it was cold, 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 and a lot of Easters still had snow, and some Easters, depending on when it fell, we had beautiful spring mornings. And the Easter I remember the most is I was probably 16 years old, and my parents had, we had a giant yard. We had a ranch out in the country. We had a giant yard, and they, my parents had an old, remember the wood cook stoves with the warming oven above it and the thing down below and the big oven and all the wood burning? They had one of those in the yard that they used for barbecue and would do steaks and things and put it. Anyway, my mom did a pancake breakfast for Easter one year, and she cooked everything on that wood stove outside. And it was so fun for all of us kids. And you know, the little kids were all running around catching doing eggs and doing their thing, you know, but I was eating pancakes. it was quite wonderful.
That wasn't a tradition. It was just how your mother decided to do it. It wasn't Easter tradition breakfast.
Although the Episcopalians do a pancake. There's Pancake Day that happens sometimes around Lent. Don't you know about that, Heidi?
Mic on. We didn't do that.
You didn't? Well, there's something. I think somebody did it here. There's like called Pancake Day. I don't remember. I remember when I lived in Manzanita, Oregon, there was a big celebration of Pancake Day, and it had something to do with Lent, and it had something to do, I don't know. It was like
that
pigging
up. Right.
Yeah, it was something. I don't know. But anyway, maybe that was part of it, and we just didn't know it. I don't know. But anyway, so the pancake thing was kind of breaking bread, sort of. I mean, it's kind of bready. And I thought one of the other things I wanted to talk about a little bit was that there's so many things that we have in common, like the eggs decorated for Easter, and they're eaten to break Ramadan fast. Did you know that? Do you do that?
No.
Eggs?
eggs as part, and they're part of the, as you just said, the Persian spring table.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But not for Ramadan. For it's they usually use water or date.
Well, why did
fast.
It tell me that you ate eggs?
I demand a refund.
I do too.
I know.
I did some research. Anyway, it's again the symbol of life and spring and renewal. Yeah. And then, of course, we have Rosh Hashanah's apple and honey. Mm-hmm. And do we say Eid?
Eid.
Mm-hmm. Sweets shared with neighbors, which you were just talking about.
Yeah.
And then the Easter chocolates and the spring cakes. Every tradition has sweets in the
Absolutely.
Return of the light.
Before we take a break for our wonderful underwriters,
Again?
It was Shrove Tuesday.
Oh, yeah.
And so that's basically like Fat Tuesday.
Like,
and it's any kind of gooey, ooey, doughy, yummy thing.
Could be donuts.
I mean, I have a Polish husband. Punchki is what we go for. It's that jelly filled.
That's
the goods.
I think they make those at Vashon Bakery.
They used to.
I don't know if they do
they
now.
They do.
When, still?
Yes, because I had friends over for Hanukkah, and all foods for Hanukkah have to be fried. And so I went to the bakery.
Bad.
And in Israel, the food is the jelly donuts. And so they're called Bismarcks also.
But, Bismarcks. I had Bismarcks.
Yeah. Well,
I like that name.
Yeah. Yeah. And in Hebrew, it's sufganiyot. And they're fried. So they're great to eat for Hanukkah.
Are they filled? They filled with something?
Oh, jelly or custard.
Or custard.
Yeah.
You know, that's anything it, fried filled with custard.
Yeah.
I have to be good.
I'm there now. I'm there.
Man.
All right.
Really
let's
good.
Take a little moment.
Okay.
Support for Voice of Vashon is provided by Palouse Winery. Award-winning wines are available for tasting on their covered patio noon to 5 Friday through Sunday. For private event inquiries, to see the music schedule, or to make a reservation, visit PalouseWinery.com.
This portion of Voice of Vashon programming is brought to you by PSCCU, proud to be Washington's Green Credit Union, practicing socially responsible banking by supporting sustainability, job creation, local economies, communities statewide, and our environment. Learn more at PSCCU.org.
And we're back.
Yeah.
Hello. We're back. We're talking about all things food and spring.
Making me hungry.
It's making me hungry, too. You're listening to the Voice of Vashon to Stirring the Pot, 101.9 FM, Vashon, Washington. So we have talked about some Jewish traditions. We've talked about some food on the Seder table. We've talked about some Christian and some pagan traditions and... I'm very curious, too, Celine, to talk about some Ramadan traditions, because I don't know, those of you who listen to the show regularly know this, but Uluç, who is the wonderful husband of Celine, is a master baker. He bakes the best bread ever.
Aww, thank you.
And he baked... some bread today, which I'm going to let Celine tell you about, that is only made once a year during Ramadan.
Mm-hmm.
So, Celine, it's all yours. I want to learn about Ramadan goes on.
Yeah. So, as we were kind of celebrating the spring celebrations and traditions and rituals, well, this year we happen to have Ramadan being celebrated in spring because Ramadan changes every year.
Yeah, I think that's really interesting. And do you get surprised sometimes about
when
it is, or do you plan?
Well, you kind of know it's usually 9 or 10 days before every year.
Okay.
It goes earlier every year. So it's about 9 and 10 days.
Okay.
So it doesn't like completely changes. You know that it's going to be...
So next year it'll be in February.
Yeah.
Yeah, interesting.
So, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Is it on the calendar? It's on the calendar.
Because they use the lunar calendar. In Turkey, we use the Gregorian, regular calendar, but Ramadan is, because it's an Islamic religious celebration, it uses the Islamic calendar, which mm-hmm. is lunar base. So, and in in Turkey we call it Ramadan.
Oh,
and but any and everywhere in the world it's called Ramadan. So sometimes I go between the two of them when I'm talking about it. So if I do that, it means the same thing.
I like that. It means don't correct her.
Yeah,
yeah. I'm right both ways.
So, so one very fundamental question I have, and then I'm going to let you have the floor.
Yeah,
is what is Ramadan?
Yeah, I'll tell you about that.
Okay.
So it's Ramadan is the holiest month in Islam,
mm-hmm.
and it's the time of fasting, prayer, kindness and community.
Okay.
And it follows the lunar calendar. So it, like I said, it kind of moves each year, but mm-hmm. it commemorates when the Quran was first revealed to Prophet Muhammad.
Okay.
So
okay.
it is believed that it happened during the month of Ramadan.
Okay.
So from dawn until sunset, adult Muslims fast. So it's no food, no drink, even water.
For how long?
From dawn till sunset. So before sun goes up.
On that first day?
Every day.
Every day?
Every day for it's about 30 days. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah. Look at her eyes. But the fasting isn't about really just about food. It's about learning, being patient.
Mm.
It's about having self-control, being more mindful, mm-hmm. being generous, and taking time to reflect on things in our lives. So, like, for example, people who are sick, who are pregnant, or very elderly people, or people who are traveling between especially different time zones mm. are exempt. So the tradition allows you to either you can give it to charity for the mm-hmm, day mm-hmm. for the days that you miss fasting during the month of Ramadan, or you can what we usually did is like my grandma and my grandparents did is provide an iftar dinner for a family.
Oh. Yeah.
So I remember.
So the generosity thing.
The whole generosity thing.
Yeah.
And you're not supposed to, like, for example, gossip during mm-hmm. the month of Ramadan.
For a whole month?
Whole month?
Oh, dear. Oh, dear.
You're supposed to say good words and not unkind words. I mean, mm-hmm. it's really about training yourself. And so there's a lot of really beautiful mm-hmm. meanings into the whole fasting. Fasting is not just about the food.
Okay.
Yeah. So that's the beautiful part of it. And so in Turkey, which is very, directly related to my own experience, Ramadan food is daily ritual that brings people together.
Mm-hmm.
And so each day is always revolve around the sunset, sunset, which is iftar. That's where the dinner happens.
And then you have dinner. Yeah.
And then sahur happens right before dawn, which is like a very, very early breakfast.
Oh, okay.
so sahur is usually simple, not mm-hmm. a lot of food, and usually you don't have people coming to your house at 3 or 4 o'clock in the morning. So it's like, you know, you wake up mm-hmm. and then you just want to eat something. So they make, they do a lot of eggs and cheese and olives, yogurt, bread, honey, and there's always Turkish tea.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Turkish tea is like, it's given. And it's supposed to be, and then you can eat until the prayer calls out. So, and then you finish up with a glass of water and mm-hmm. then you make your promise that you're going to be fasting for the day. And then at sunset, the iftar begins.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the, you usually break your fasting with dates or water. And then it was really interesting. That's when the whole city comes alive, like either right at iftar, right mm-hmm. at dinner time, or right after it, where you would think that people would be like, oh, they didn't eat anything, and then they eat and they're just gonna, you know,
go to bed.
No, people actually go out. They start walking, and then they meet with their neighbor, and then or they have more tea with people, mm-hmm. and they drink tea until like 10 mm-hmm. or 8 o'clock in the evening, at night. So it's interesting. And shops are open because usually during the day, most shops are closed because it's Ramadan. Sure. Most restaurants are not open. So that's when they do their business. So you'll see a lot of people out there right at mm-hmm. the iftar time. Mm-hmm. And also the mosques or big community centers, they host free iftar meals. So you will see like the patios of mosques, they have tables and tables, and then they feed people. So either like, and it's for anybody, it's not just for people who are in need. Like, for example, you might just get stuck in traffic. Uh-huh. You just pull your car and then you know and a mosque eat. Has a, oh. So you can break your fast and yeah. you don't have to wait hours mm-hmm. in traffic. So it's, mm-hmm. it's very thoughtful, mm-hmm. very meaningful experience. So the food that's eaten is also has a like a little order too. Mm-hmm. So in iftar, it always right after you break your fast, it always starts with soup.
Okay.
Almost every iftar has soup, like first soup, and then the most common ones are lentil soup, mm-hmm. as this is mm-hmm. very common. And there's yaila soup, which is yogurt-based soup, and tarhana soup. We talked about it in our mm-hmm. last month, and then so it's followed by some stews to eat with bread, mm-hmm. and then I'm gonna come to talking about bread, and then. And then there is rice or bulgur pilav that goes with it. There's always dolmas and fresh salads. The salads are as simple as tomato, cucumber, mm-hmm. onions, olive oil, and lemon juice.
Lemon juice.
I mean, you just mix it and that's your... And then you put a lot of lemon juice and olive oil because people love...
To dip.
Dip their yes. breads in yes. that. And it's so lovely, so good. And then there's always... dessert too, but mm-hmm. before dessert, what I want to mention is that is in Turkey we have Ramazan pidesi. So what that is the special bread that is made only during the month of Ramadan. You can't find Ramadan pide any time of the year, but only during the month of Ramadan. These are soft sesame and nigella seed topped bread. That's it's round. It's always I think it's always round, and it's. It's bread. We call it pide because that's what it is. It's not like the pita bread.
It's not like pita, no.
It's more like it's thicker than that. Mm-hmm. So it's more almost like a focaccia bread type of, mm-hmm. Thickness. And
it looks like a giant hamburger bun the size of a paper plate.
Mm-hmm. That's a good description, Heidi.
That's a small one.
Oh, really?
So just so you know, that's
it looks
a small
so
one.
Tasty.
Well, I think we should taste some of it, don't
yeah.
you?
Yeah.
Okay. Is this going to be the ASMR?
Yeah. And I'll continue talking
Please.
While you guys
this
are...
Yeah. But before you continue, mm-hmm. let's talk about the spread that you provided for the bread.
Yeah. So my husband, my beloved husband, I told him that he needed to make me Ramazan pide during the month of Ramadan. And he's so sweet. And I said, we have our radio show. You got to bring it so that I can talk about it. And so he made some and it's... How's
I'm huffing it. I like to smell things.
Wait,
first.
There's more.
I'm a weirdo. I know, right? And then there's this grape and something to eat.
So I made a little dip to bring it. Okay. It's not tradition to Ramadan, oh. but I wanted to bring something with the bread. And so what it is it's mixture of grape molasses and tahini paste. And so what that is, it's usually put on the bread, and it's really, really good.
Oh, normally would the pide have something with it or not necessarily?
It's usually you eat it during dinner. So
just, I see.
Yeah. I mean, that's why you have the stews and you mm-hmm. have
it's like
soup
a dipper.
Oh, for dipping.
Yeah. So you have the soup and salad and stews. That's where you kind of dip your Ramadan pide. And it's delicious, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Compliments to the chef.
I will tell that.
Thank you, Tulish. That's so good.
I will. And then, so desserts are lighter during the iftar too. So the like classic Ramadan dessert is called goulash, and it's a delicate milk soaked pastry sheets.
Okay. So, Like puff pastry?
No, it's actually it's a pastry sheets are very thin. Like you can almost see through. They almost look like, you know, those egg wrapper sheets. They almost look like that, but they're made with cornstarch. So they're dry. So they're baked and dry. And then you buy it dry like that. And then you make a very simple milk syrup. So milk sugar. Very simple. And that's your syrup. And then you just soak that in. And then you put some pistachios or walnut, whatever the nuts you like. And then you layer another several sheets. And you just soak it in that syrup.
Like same over.
Yeah. So, and then you some people put more nuts on top. Some people put pomegranate seeds on top. Mm. And it's usually eaten like it's... There's always like a lot of milky syrup is also still. I have to make you guys, but I didn't have any goulash sheets to make it and bring it. So next time when we go to Koza, I need to buy some and make you guys some because it's really delicious. It's very light.
Sounds wonderful.
And so there, and then I think I mentioned it before, but Turkish people, we love milky desserts. So we have rice puddings, we have custard, and we have other types of desserts that they have a lot of milk in it. And so so at the end, when the Ramadan ends, and then this year it's March 20th, but it starts in the evening of the 19th.
Okay.
Arifet.
Sure.
And then so it's in English or in the United States, it's called Eid al-Fitr. So, and then when in Turkey, we call them Ramazan Bayramı. And then that's when baklavas are served to the neighbors. You go to your elderly people. That's where you kind of kiss the hand, and then they give you money. As little children, I remember that, going to grandmas and grandpas.
You're getting money.
And then you kiss the hands and you say, Happy Ramadan. And then you give a little money, and then you have candy. And then everybody shares their beautiful desserts that they made for Ramadan. And it's such a beautiful traditional event. And what I was kind of comparing these beautiful celebrations, and it's whether it's Nowruz or Ramadan or Cedar or any of the Easter, I think it's all about kind of cleaning out what no longer serves us and to take care of one another. And a trust in the renewal. And because no matter how long the winter feels, spring does return.
Yeah.
And every year we're giving the chance for a new year, new day.
Oh, that's beautiful.
So
that's
I thought this was a very, very lovely way of kind of looking at these multiple, either religious and rituals and different cultures. And that's what unites us. And that's where I kind of like to focus my energy. And that's what makes me happy.
Well, it's the thing that binds us together is our shared experiences, and they're
Seder's also is feeding people who are hungry. There's a little thing about Elijah, and you leave the door open so he can come in and sit and eat. And Barry's grandfather had a huge Seder, and he invited the servicemen from the sailors from the naval base that was stationed at Lake Michigan.
Yeah,
and they were strangers, and they came
so lovely
and had dinner.
That's so wonderful. That's a wonderful tradition.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, so, we are close to having to shut down.
Yeah.
What I want to say is this bread. Say the name of it again, please.
Ramazan Pidesi.
Ramazan Pidesi. It's just really outrageous. Uluç, thank you from my heart. Just thank you so much. It's just a beautiful, beautiful gift. And it fed us. You fed us.
Yeah.
And to our listeners, Sharon, thank you for coming.
Oh, my goodness.
I'm so glad
you
were here. And as always, Celine, thank you.
Thank you, Heidi.
Hello. For your expertise.
You're welcome.
And to all of our listeners, thank you for being there. And we'll see you again next week.
What's our next show? Do you have a theme for the next show?
Oh, yeah. I do, but it's a secret.
Top secret. It's secret. This is KVSHLP Vashon, your listener-supported Island Connection. Thanks for listening.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Oh, this is so delicious.